Hi, I'm Julian McKenzie, and this is the Album of the Decade podcast. We've had so much great music come in the last few years, so this is the show where you get to hear people talk about their favorite albums and projects of that time. This episode features Shisimba. He's an MC, he's a beatmaker, and he also considers himself to be a band leader. He's into hip-hop, rap, ambient, and chillwave influences.
Put in work and it shows, I'm a show-off, a gunslinger at a Mexican standoff. I'm Django with a pistol, with big lips and the nostrils. Nostradamus flow with
an Shisimba's pick for Album of the Decade is Some Rap Songs by Earl Sweatshirt.
Yeah, she get it cause it mean it. Ease up, free smoking niggas need it. Mask on, we trick or treating. Back off, stand off, it's anemic. Yeah, my nigga, it's told him it's a feeling. Blast off, buckshot into my ceiling.
Why ain't nobody. Shisimba, thank you so much for joining me on Album of the Decade to talk about your album pick. I haven't seen you in like, I want to, maybe just an easy guess here, 2-3 years.
Before
today's recording.
I remember I was thinking today, like, about the first time we met, actually, which was at the Strange Fruits party.
Yes.
The CGLO release party thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think I've seen you, like, I've seen you in the flesh after that, but I don't remember when. Maybe it was a party or something.
It might have been, was it at a Boozy, like, I know when, like, one of the few times Boozy Fade has a party here. Big shout out to the Catch Up podcast, by the way, with James Rathbone and Jordan Suomi, by the way. Big shout out to those
gang,
guys.
Gang.
Yeah, of course. But, yeah, that's probably it, because you're the one who actually put me on a Boozy Fit.
Yeah. I was like, yo, I think, you know, as a journalist, it was hip-hop.
It ended up being, like, the best thing for me. So I appreciate you for that. And obviously, you got some music of your own. Can you, like, tell the folks at home what you got going on? You had a fundraiser started earlier on this year to start kind of putting some money together for a project you've been trying to put together.
Yeah, so I've been working with this band for about 2 years. So my name is Shisimba. I rap, I make beats, I have a band, and we're about to drop our first EP together as a collective. So, like, we know, with, like, a studio, it's going to be a studio project with some, like, you know, musicians for the first time, you know, live arrangements, whatnot. Not really live, but more studio than live. You get the gist of it. But
for sure.
So we're raising funds right now till my birthday on November 28th for this project. Also applied for grants and, you know, all other sources of funding. But it's like my most ambitious project yet.
So why did you choose to do it like this?
Because I've been trying to play with a band for years, actually. And, like, in the past 2 years, it's, like, been slowly materializing and, like, happening. And definitely, I feel like it kind of brings, like, an aspect that's, like, more fluid, less, like, you know, like, you have beats, they're, like, set in stone, and you rap over them. That's cool, and, like, that's hip-hop, and that's part of the culture, but I wanted to do things, like, a little different, like, I've been, like, envisioning for a few years, too, you know?
How close is your musical style to that of the artist we're going to discuss most of this episode on, in Earl Sweatshirt, you'd say?
Honestly, not super close. Like, I fuck with a lot of, like, lo-fi. Can I swear on there?
Yeah, of course you can.
Gang. I do a lot of things, like, lyrically and, like, also with sampling that, I guess, like, lo-fi stuff that I guess can be, like, really similar, but my style is, like, less Earl. Like, I feel like I can connect with, like, the music and the messages and, like, more, like, the person. Basically, I see more similarities between, like, our lives and us, like, in this stage of our lives as people, in certain aspect versus, like, oh, you know, my music sounds like him.
Because you sound, I mean, this is just off of what I've heard from you and just kind of being around you. You come across as more of a guy with a happier disposition as opposed to Earl, who might be a bit more down and maybe a bit more introspective and obviously really smart. Mm-hmm. But you can get the sense he could be a bit more depressing in his vocals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I feel like I try. I don't know about Earl, and I can't just be like, you know, like, he channels a lot of that. I mean, he does, but, like, the thing is, like, my philosophy is, like, less. I have some music that's, like, pretty downer, but, like, I haven't, like, really dropped it, because I feel like my music and my message, I try to be more, not necessarily more uplifting, but I don't want to, like, let my whole personality and my whole, you know, music be about, like, how sad I am, you know? Like, I try to, like, balance it and, like, be a person with, like, different, like, moods and, like, facets and stuff.
What would you say your message is?
Be yourself, fight, And that's it.
Hey, those are good words to live by. So to kind of segue over into the album that you picked, Some Rap Songs by Earl Sweatshirt, do you get the sense that the message that you bring out in your lyrics is kind of out there in some rap songs, or do you feel it's not that? Or in that case, if it's not there, what draws you to some rap songs?
That's a good question. A lot of it is just like the artistry, I'd say. Like, I listened to Earl before.
Yeah.
I never really got into his music. Like, him as a person is like really interesting, you know. And I followed somewhat Odd Future when I was younger. Like, I was never like super into it because I feel like it didn't really cater to me.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was like, it kind of felt like, yeah, suburban white kids say the N-word and like.
That's really interesting that you felt that way.
Yeah, like, I always felt like it was, like, more, and also, like, it kind of, like, appealed to, like, people who kind of were edgy and, like, oh, you know, I'm different, so I listen to Earl, you know, not Earl, but, like, Odd Future, but, like, you know, as they grew up, that's where, like, okay, I get, like, a better sense of, like, who they are and who they are becoming. I was a big fan of Frank, also, like, Earl's old Evolution, you know, mm-hmm. the Free Oil Movement, like, learning more about the world and, you know, going to Samoa and coming back and, like, just lyrically, it's really interesting, but... yeah, just the beats, they really hit me, and also the message, how like it's all laced up in those lyrics, and he gets like he's influenced a lot by Mike, who's another rapper who's really influenced by Earl too, so it's interesting to see like how like that exchange.
Mike, like Mike G?
No, literally just Mike.
Okay, there's another guy named Mike.
Yeah. Other dude. I'll show him some of his stuff, but like this guy is really sick. It's just like a bunch of like underground dreadheads who rap, and they just like don't necessarily give a shit about, you know, appealing to like radio or whatever. They just do their thing, and like people, you know, they vibe with that, and it's dope. And they have like messages, but just talking, you know, using their words, talking about their lives, and just like being like open about all that.
Like, before I just go into the album, I just think it's really interesting that you thought of Odd Future as like this project, this group that kind of allowed people to like allowing suburban white kids to kind of just be angsty and say the N-word, because I get more of the sense of the members of Odd Future as they're separated now.
Yeah.
I get more of that sense now seeing some of them be more mainstream. Like Tyler the Creator has never been bigger than he is now.
Yeah.
And you go to his shows and you're like, wow, these people were definitely not around when Goblin was a thing. And mm-hmm. you have the visualization of people booing Drake off stage because mm-hmm. they want Frank Ocean. And again, it's all these suburban white kids who, you know, pay a lot of money. They get to go to Camp Flogna, which probably costs a lot of money. And they want those artists. I didn't feel it was that case back in like 2011, mm-hmm. 2012. And especially for Earl, who unlike Tyler and unlike Frank, who even though they could be mysterious in their own ways, they found a way to do things that can appeal in some way to the mainstream. And at least people in the mainstream really kind of like them for how their style is. Mm-hmm. Earl is just a guy who's just, I get the sense he's kind of more to himself, and he's just... again, introspective, but also just such a curious person to listen to and to try to figure out. And mm-hmm. I have to admit, I don't have Earl all the way figured out. I don't have... it's crazy to think, like, you spend your time coming up with a whole group of friends, and then all of a sudden you have to go away for, like, a couple of years. I remember when everyone was all, like, Free Earl, like, back then.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was, like, such, like, the weirdest thing. So I kind of went on a bit of a tangent, just, you know, wondering off of one point you had made, and then we get now into... Some Rap Songs, which I thought was just such a weird, because like Earl will just kind of go off. Like, I remember one track of his off of the album, which was basically released as a single beforehand, The Mint with Navy Blue, where you have Navy Blue kind of rapping the first few bars, and then Earl just kind of just
mm-hmm.
goes in. And I mean, for me, it was just so weird. It's just kind of like, all right, I'm just going to rap. Like, how did you feel about this project as a whole?
It really blew me away, honestly. Like, I remember, like, I don't do shit. I don't go outside.
Yeah. That was the one before. Yeah.
Yeah. That project was like super dark, and I feel like I didn't really vibe with it.
Yeah, I didn't, but, like, either.
You understand, like, where, you know, like, with everything that's happening in his life and like him being mysterious, being inspired by like MF Doom, and you kind of get that, okay, he's going through some shit and this is like how we, you know, he chooses to express it. But like with like some rap songs, like you're talking about The Mint, I didn't like The Mint that much when he came out, but then I re-listened to it like in the context of the album, it really makes sense. Like this whole project, I don't know, like if you're, I feel like you have to be more open to like not lo-fi necessarily, but like a lot of like underground loopy hip hop to like really like be fully committed to this project. And like this song, for instance, uses the, I don't know if you ever watched Black Dynamite.
I've never gotten to watch Black Dynamite.
Okay,
That's one of the, I'm very behind on TV shows and
no
and
the stuff movie.
Like that. Oh, the Black Tower, like. I'm very behind on like movies and TV.
So. They made a TV show, but the original one is like a 2009 like blaxploitation spoof movie.
Okay.
And I'm Running Things is actually from the movie. So that kind of like, it gives me like, I guess, a reference point to be like, okay, I get what this reference is. And then they start rapping into with like the piano beat. But like just that album is all simplistic, and the way that it raps, you know, super close to the mic, not necessarily like mixed. I mean, it's mixed, obviously, but, like, to, like, there's, like, this certain aesthetic that's attached to it, right? And it just makes, it just feels so raw and, like, so real. Like, just, like, how he starts the album with, like, Shattered Dreams. Mm-hmm. Like, that beat just feels like fucking someone, like, crying, almost. And the second song, you know, Red Water, talking about the water, the blood in the water. Then he talks about, like, how his father passed away, which I feel like he explored a lot more in his latest project that came out a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But just, like, I don't know, like, what do you want me to talk about, like, specifically?
Yo, just tell me every, like, the keep going, bro. Like, you are in this shit. Like, go in.
Yeah.
Go in, bro. You like this album? This is your favorite album of the decade? Tell me everything about why you like this album.
Ah, shit. All right.
And I'll just ask you questions in between. We can intercut. Don't worry about it.
Gang, gang. Yeah, man. Just, like, feels, like, really raw. I feel like I can connect to a lot of the beats a lot more. But also, like, Earl is what? Like, I think 25 now. He's, like, a few months older.
Earl is only 25?
He's only 25.
No way.
He's been, like, rapping for almost, like, 10 years.
No way.
Fuck
yeah. He is 25. He's 2 months older than I am.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And that's, like, I'm turning 25 in, like, 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, happy early birthday.
Thanks.
By the time this episode comes out, you may very well already be 25.
Yeah.
Yes.
The GoFundMe is running until my birthday on November
28th. Yes, exactly, as you did mention before. Mm-hmm. So you are going to be 25. Yeah, I didn't. It's crazy because, like, wow, that really puts into perspective, like, growing up without, like, Earl was a guy who literally, like, we're around the same age growing up with him. Yeah. That's crazy. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and, like, with, like, all this, like, the way that it, like, you know, his life turned out, and then being in the game for so long, and then coming up with this album, it just feels like this is, like, the album when I listen to it feels like, wow, this guy's, like, an OG at 25, and this is, like, how he's choosing to, like, you know, approach his music, the beats that he used. It's, like, just, like, there's, like, this kind of, like, mystical, like, all right, I've been through some shit kind of aspect to it, and it just feels, like, raw, you know?
Do you feel like his style has gotten better as he's gotten older, as opposed to what he was doing earlier on in Odd Future?
I feel like earlier on, like, it was really dope and really gifted, but it was, like, a lot of, like, showing off his lyrical abilities. So, for instance, like, remember the song Oldies, right?
Yeah, Oldies.
His verse on Oldies, Drag, is, like, fucking long. Like, it's pretty dope, like, the word that he uses and how he raps, but I feel like it kind of drags.
Interesting.
But in this project, though, like, on some rap songs, like, you feel like, okay, like, I have, like, proven my lyrical ability, like, by, like, rapping with a lot of words and, like, you know, like, not stopping. But in this one, he can, like, pace himself a lot more, say things, like, doesn't use, like, big words, but, like, it's all about the flow and how he chooses to use it. And going back to, like, the influence of, like, Mike and a lot of, like, you know, Mavi, Mike, a lot of, like, these, like, underground rappers on the scene, I'm not exactly sure where Mavi's from. I totally forgot. I know he goes to
Howard.
Howard, yeah. But basically, like, also the internet helped, like, facilitate and bring a lot of these guys together, you know, like Pink Sifu and a lot of these guys. So just, like his style really evolved. I don't know if it's for the better, honestly, but I feel like it makes more sense with him, like, evolving as an artist, that he would go, like, you know, kind of, like, break it down and be, like, a little more, I don't know, not necessarily simplistic, because, like, there's, like, different ways that, like, you know, his flow, like, his cadence, you know, like, that improved, and that's, like, better, but, like, it changed for the better, not necessarily saying that, like, he was, like, he got better, but like the way that he's evolving, and like I feel like it's more maturing.
It's like a more logical progression.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like kind of like this is like a natural progression.
Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I matured. I can like, I'm gonna do this now. Take my time. Use like those like not necessarily old school beats, but like those beats that have like, you know, flavor, like soul to them and stuff, and mm-hmm. like rap at, over them. It just, it really feels like, I don't know, it's gratifying. And I also saw him live when he came at Corona, and that was like sick.
What was he like live?
Fuck, the guy's like just, he has like long fucking dreads in his face, so he looks down a lot. It's funny as shit, but he does his thing, man. Like honestly, like that's what you'd expect. And you know, he raps, like doesn't fuck up his lyrics, you know, he's on the stage, has this presence. Like all the fucking kids were I was like with a bunch of people who were like a little younger than me, whatever, because that's the thing. Like I feel like when you're a musician, like a lot of like your fans are gonna be people who are like, you know, in their formative years, like when they're like teenagers, they're gonna like look up to someone.
Yeah.
And you know, the fans are, a lot of the time they're gonna be a lot younger. So I was like, I saw some of my homies there, and then we ended up like, you know, partying. And it's funny, like it would like, you know, he raps like he does on the album, he has this DJ, but like I'm like with like some like motherfuckers, like we're like just like doing mosh pits like the whole night. Yeah, but also he had like Livy doing the first part where she raps, sing, she does a little lo-fi, like really laid back, like, oh, okay let's start this song again, you know. And then second person, Baby Mother, so Baby Mother like really like, you know, brought it up, réchauffer la salle, là, comme on dit en français, tu sais, you know, like warmed everyone up.
Tu peux parler franglais ici.
Ah ouais.
Like, on be the first, the first bit of franglais we would ever have on the album of the decade. Go, whatever makes you feel comfortable, bro.
I'm a pioneer, God.
Absolutely,
so,
bro.
Yeah, so just like she really warmed up the stage, and yet like Earl, and at the end, just all the DJ qui joue des, you know, joue des cuts, là. Yeah. They're like partying, like they have like, I don't know, water guns or whatever. Just I don't know, and they were
Stripper
like
super childish. So.
Yeah, but like it was great. It kind of felt like you're like chilling with your, and they're all black, so it kind of felt like you're just chilling with your cousins, and you're playing beats, and like we're still mosh beating, and you're like chilling in the cut. It was a lot of fun, man. But yeah, it, this album really felt like a legacy project, because it feels like, okay, like you really matured, like whether it's like the things that he's been going through, like the music, the sound, how he chooses to rap, like, you know, doesn't have to go like, okay, I don't have to like prove my lyrical ability anymore, so I'm gonna lay back but still have like something that's like that not a lot of people do.
Where did you first listen to this album?
On my phone. Basically, I think...
like, where? Where were you? Like, were you at home? Did you realize, okay, today's the day the album dropped? Did you know it was coming? Were you, like, outside, like, hanging out, on, like, on a date with somebody? And you're like, hold on, I gotta go to the bathroom and, like, listen to Earl Sweatshirt. Not saying I've ever done that, but
I would never.
But, no, but, anyway.
I'm not, honestly, like, it's kind of blurring my mind. I'm gonna try what I think happened. I remember downloading it on my phone.
Yeah, of course. Project that I had. That's how we do things now.
Yeah, I think I was following it, because I've been following him on Twitter for a bit, and I saw that he dropped a project, so I downloaded it. I remember seeing, or maybe it was Boozy Fade, or like, oh, some rap songs dropped.
Yeah.
And I remember he dropped a mint before. At the time, I wasn't super down with this. Like, I still needed to be, like, warmed up to it.
Yeah.
So I downloaded it on my phone. I just listened to it at my home at first. And it just, like, just starting with Shattered Dreams.
It's kind of hit you.
Niggas need it. Mask off, mask on, mask off, mask on. We trick or treat and back off, standoffish, and anemic. Yeah, that, like, cadence.
Yeah, the cadence, yeah.
Oh, fuck. We win again. See through within. And the. Like, it feels like listening to, like, some, I don't know, some Dipset. Like, you've listened to Dipset, right?
Yeah, I've listened to Dipset.
Like, that fucking thing, because I know he's, like, influenced by them a lot. Like, MF Doom, Dipset, like, it kind of going back to, like, a more, like, okay, boss, like, chill kind of rhythm, which is, like, something I'm, like, all about. Like, I'm a big, like, East Coast fan, so this shit kind of comes back. But, yeah, I just, like, listened to it at home, and then I start listening to it everywhere. Like, I drive a lot around a lot, so I'm listening to it in my car when I'm alone after I blaze up. Just, like, this album is, there's moves to it, and you can just like listen to it like anywhere, and that's what I did.
What is the best song off this album, in your estimation?
Okay, I think it'd be either. Okay, I don't think I have one best song. I love Shattered Dreams, but yeah. Also like songs like Eclipse, Red Water is like one of my faves. I don't know if it's best, but like there's like something like really like spiritual about him just like repeating the same bars over and over again over like a really nice like, you know, soul cut beat. Maybe it's Eclipse. Maybe Eclipse is my favorite on it. Say goodbye to my openers, total eclipse, like just like going off like this. Hold up, what's the track list again?
Okay, I got it in front of me if you need it.
Yes.
Like Shattered Dreams, Red Water, mm-hmm. Cold Summers, Nowhere to Go, December 24th.
Nowhere to Go. Wait, Nowhere to Go is pretty dope as well too.
There's On the Way, then the Mint, the Bends, Lucy, Azucar, Eclipse, Veins.
Azucar. Not a black woman, I can't think. Oh, that
the way you're quoting all these lyrics makes me think that you would be amazing at this particular part of the show, where Ooh. Basically I pull up lyrics from the album and I try to figure out if you know what song they are from.
Oh shit! Oh.
Well, I mean, at this point you are literally just like reciting them offhand, so like I'm sure you know where this verse is from.
Okay.
I was in the kitchen with that nigga Mike. Gotta listen when I tell you, simmer down. 2 years I've been missing living life. You was wild and every day was trash.
That's Mint.
That is the Mint.
Uh-huh.
Let me see if I could just pull up another heart, like a harder one. I had a few ones here and I was like, okay, let's see if we could find one that's a bit more. Are we gathering in remembrance? Galaxies the distance between us by Christmas. Now we crumbling leaf over tree pre-twist. I bet your heart skip a beat when you see me next.
I'm not sure.
Wow, straight up. You didn't even think about like where that was from. You're just like, nope, I don't know that one. That's off Lucy.
Ah, okay. I don't think I listened to that one too much.
That's fine.
There's like some of my faves that, you know, like there's like songs you circle back
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you circle back to. That's a short one in all fairness.
I'm a phony.
That was
Ow.
All right, I'll give you an easy one.
All
right. I said peace to my dirty water drinkers. Nobody trying to get it clean.
Shattered Dreams.
Why ain't nobody tell me I was thinking.
Nobody told me I could leave. Ah, peace to my dirty water drinkers. Nobody's trying to get it clean. Shout out to Flint, Michigan, man. Yo. Shout out to a lot of Grassy Narrows, Canada, man. A lot of communities here, like that are underserved. And it's like a deliberate political strategy. I find like you can't tell me that shit is not on purpose.
It's hard to. It's hard to explain why there are communities in the western part of the world that don't have potable drinking water.
It's because people, like, they know that, like, oh, we can't help certain communities because, like, these people are against, like, our corporate interests. Like, you have, like, in Flint, you have, what, like, Nestle and stuff. Nestle, yeah. Like, you have, like, all those, like, plants that make money off, like, those situations. So, like, you can't help those people.
If you were on an island and you could bring one album with you, would you bring this album with you?
Like just one album?
Yeah, you can only play one album. You are on this island for an indefinite period of time. You don't know when you're going to get rescued. You only know you can just play one album with you.
So cruel. I wouldn't bring that one, probably.
That's fine. It's fine. You don't have to bring that one. I'm just curious.
What? I pass? Oh, Jesus.
Wait, is this like a lie detector test? Like, is this Vanity Fair all of a sudden? What is this?
Right.
Just I've seen someone like pops up. Nah. So which one would you
bring? Which one? God damn. I don't know. Probably some Kendrick stuff. Like, no. I'm lying. Sade, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to have fun.
Wow.
I want to hear a woman singing my ears every day.
Yo, man, you want to be on that deserted island, be like, damn, man, I don't know what I'm getting off, and you hear Sweetest Taboo in your ears.
Oh my God. Kiss of love. Kiss of life. Kiss of love.
Oh man. Oh man, dude. Yeah. Anything else you want to add about this album before we wrap up here?
Before we take the gloves off and duel it out.
start scrapping us up. We ain't gonna scrap.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Honestly, this album was like really dope. And it's nice to hear someone just like be like this vulnerable on an album, but also like in a way that I feel like as a hip hop head, I'm like, all right, like, I fucks with this, like, 100%. It's pretty dope. And also feeling, like, you know, witnessing, like, the evolution of, like, someone who's, like, you know, just, like, super young, but also, like, old in the game, and, like, being excited for, like, what happens next, being part of a community that listens to hip-hop, but also that I can talk about this album with, or, like, just, like, you know, bounce back ideas of, I don't know, there's a general thoughts, I guess, but I was quite pleased.
Shazimba, thank you so much for being on this episode of Album of the Decade. Thank you so much for bringing in your thoughts on some rap songs by Earl Sweatshirt. You killed it, bro.
Yo, thank you for having me and reaching out. It's a pleasure to be here, you know? We're part of the culture. Let's go.
That's the whole, man. We're doing this for the culture, bro. Mm-hmm. Thank you, bro.
Pleasure.
Special thanks to everyone who's taken part of the Album of the Decade podcast, and special thanks to you for listening to this entire episode all the way through. You made it all the way to the end. This show is produced and edited by Tom Zalatni as part of the Upford Network. You can find out all about the great shows on the network at upfordnetwork.com.
I'm Tom.
I'm Will.
And we're the hosts of Blasting Off Again, a new Pokemon podcast brought to you by the Upford Network.
We've decided to take on the task of watching through every episode of Pokemon, providing live commentary and in-depth analysis of everyone's favorite 90s dogfighting cartoon.
We're tackling the hard-hitting issues. Is Brock racist?
Was Koffing the first ever suicide bomber?
What are the environmental implications of using Pikachu to power a building?
Will Misty ever get her pipe back?
Find out the answer to all these questions and more on Blasting Off Again.
Available on the Upford Network, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're blasting off again. Ding. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lakoff, host of Changing on the Fly, a brand new podcast on the Upford Network. Changing on the Fly is a podcast that dives deep into the intersections between hockey and social justice. We take on issues of sexism, racism, and homophobia on the ice. You'll hear from athletes, activists, fans, scholars, and even musicians who love hockey but want to keep the jerks out of the game. Think Colin Kaepernick or Serena Williams, but with skates and less teeth. It's your perfect antidote to Don Cherry and Coach's Corner. Hey Don, what do you think of Changing on the Fly?
Not the left-wing pinkle media, bleeding hearts, guys. What are you, nuts?
Anyways, you can find Changing on the Fly wherever you get your podcasts or visit us online at changingonthefypodcast.wordpress.com. Stand again.